What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Konnichiwa, minasan.
And we are back for episode 73. That's right, I'm keeping count this time.
I still find it crazy. I'm like, you know, last week when you're like, it was 72, and I was like, dang. Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it helps to kind of take into account what we've been doing and how long we've been doing it, and the fact that despite COVID and a bunch of other, you know, unfortunate events, that we're still doing it and still having a good time doing it. So it's something I definitely want to highlight. This week has been interesting, kind of like on a pseudo vacation, where I'm not doing as much work as I was before, but there were still some things that I needed to kind of take care of because of timing. A lot of stuff that I kind of agreed to do didn't come about until just recently. So it's like, even though this is, you know, vacation time, it's like, oh, I need to put in at least a little bit of work here and there. That way I can get it, you know, I'll have it ready by the time we're out of vacation. But with that said, it makes it a little bit more difficult to actually keep up with all the stuff going on. I don't know if you saw, but our tweet on the Gamecast recently on Twitter was retweeting basically Netflix and how Netflix is, you know, they're rolling out their plan for 2022. And it is trying to be like Marvel. Right. It is not. Well, they've been doing it. They've been succeeding at that. Their whole Geeked event where they, you know, showcase a bunch of different films and whatnot. And then, or, you know, and TV shows. And then the stuff that they had for this year, a new movie came out every week. And that is wild. And to think that 2022 is going to be some of the same, you know, with some of their big shows coming back, like The Witcher. I want to say The Witcher season 2 is coming back. Mm-hmm. They already are talking about shooting Witcher, you know, season 3. There's also Stranger Things. Although I think the guy who plays The Witcher isn't coming back on season 3.
Oh, because it's not about him?
Well, no. The rumor is that I want to say he got injured, and then
he did.
They were like, you know what? Maybe, I don't know. It's one of those things where they don't want to lean too much on him as the actor, and maybe someone who's a little bit more available, because I know he has other projects outside of just The Witcher. But the fact that things had to shut down, I'm not sure if they were happy with that. That's still rumored. That's not a, you know, 100% concrete. So I'm just throwing that out there.
I hope that is all rumors, because it sounds really dumb.
It kind of does.
It sounds stupid. Henry Cavill is the Henry Cavill. He is the Henry Cavill, and he is everything, almost everything to me.
Right. And I don't know if he's, you know, going to be reprising his role as Superman, you know, in the upcoming, you know, DC flicks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that could also be a thing, you know, competing contracts and whatnot. I'm not sure. But if there is going to be a Witcher season 3, I definitely want him on there, because his, you know, kind of stoic way of acting lends itself really well to The Witcher. So I'm looking forward to season 2.
I'm looking forward to it. I need him to collect his paychecks, because he is my husband. So I just, you know, one of us has to work, because we know that I'm not.
Right. Well, what about Loki, though?
Oh, who said I can't have more than one?
Hey.
I mean, when Henry's off at a project, you know, there's Leggy Tom. Leggy Tom's off filming.
Henry's See, do they know home. About each other, though? That's the question.
Of course they do. They're British. Of course they do.
Wow. Okay. All right. So on that note, so basically it's hard to keep up with stuff. So I haven't watched everything that I said I was going to watch. But that's okay, because we weren't covering all of it. I did get to finish Cowboy Bebop, though. So we will be diving into that a little bit later in the show. And expressing my thoughts on it. And this is interesting, especially because I just recently finished rewatching the anime for like the 900th time. So
yeah, me too.
All of it's fresh. All of it is fresh.
Yeah.
And sneak peek, I don't like the treatment of certain characters. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
All Anywho, of them.
Before we get to that, there's a couple things that's been happening as of late that I thought was really interesting. One of them has been the ticket sales, or the whole craziness that went beyond beyond the theater, in terms of like theater sites like AMC and whatnot, with Spider-Man No Way Home. When the you know, they dropped the veil, if you will, and allowed everybody to kind of jump online and purchase the tickets, they crashed. And this is not something that happened. This is, I think the last time this has happened was maybe a Star Wars film. I'm not sure. Because I know Avengers, I was able to get a ticket rather easily. There wasn't, like, none of the sites crashed, I don't think. At least not when I went.
But, oh, you know what? That happened on Black Panther.
Oh, you're right. Yep, you're right. Black Panther, it did happen. So it has happened before. You know, Fandango crashed, AMC crashed, a bunch of different places, you know, ticket places crashed. And it was very interesting. What was most interesting about it, and I say this is interesting, let me back up for a sec, because we're still in, you know, pandemic time. And even the movies that I went to that were packed weren't packed like they could have been. When I went to see Shang-Chi, there was a lot of people. It's a lot of people, but not like when I went to see, you know, The Rise of Skywalker, where like there was, you know, at some point there were people standing. I don't know how they got in or whatever the case may be, but I remember looking over. I'm like, yo, dude's been standing for a minute. Like, is he waiting for someone to, you know how you do the thing where like you're going to scoot in, but you don't want to sit down right away because they're going to come in from the bathroom. So I was like, is he doing that? So yeah, it was packed. And typically they stay that way for, you know, for weeks because the movie is that popular. Whereas right now, even the films that are doing well aren't doing as well as they could have because, you know, it's still COVID season. And so for the fact that Spider-Man kind of crashed everything, that's kind of telling. I am not trying to go week one to see this movie. I don't want to be around all these people.
No,
I'm trying to go maybe the second week, you know, let the huge crowds. I'm going to try to go early in the morning, something like that. And just get it out the way. But that being said, what was also interesting was the fact that a lot of scalpers got tickets and started to selling them for thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars online. Shout out to Matt Kim over at IGN. I'm looking at his article, and he talks about how, you know, outside of the movie ticket sites crashing, that these people started putting these tickets on eBay and you know, other places like that, and they were selling them. Now, at first, I was like, okay, I heard about some listings. It was like $100 for a ticket. And you know what? I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at $100.
I'm not mad.
To be honest, I'm not mad at the scalpers at all. Aside of the people who do illegal things, like use bots or like hack the website to get stuff, I'm not a fan of that. If you wait outside for something, for like the Jordans, and you end up getting it and then you want to resell it for a lot of money and someone's willing to pay for it, do what you do. I'm not upset. Everyone had the opportunity, right? But when I look at how much, so like, you know, I saw tickets being sold for $100 and people actually purchasing them. And I was like, all right, whatever. Then I saw one that was listed for $25,000.
That's just dumb.
And it was sold.
To themselves?
It was sold. And you know how eBay works. That doesn't necessarily mean that someone went through with it all the way, right, like talking about. But the fact that someone clicked purchase now and bought it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. For several reasons. Number one, and this is like the biggest one, I think. You can wait. Like, that's a thing that people did. Like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago? It's not even not that long ago where people waited for stuff. No, you can't wait. Like, you really can't wait to see this movie. I know it's a big deal, but it's kind of a big deal to us in a nerdy type of way. It's not like you're paying that much for medication or like,
no,
you know, a hospital bill or something like it's not that important. It's not a house note.
No.
Or a car, like, you know what I'm saying? But then also it's confusing because considering it is COVID time, a lot of the films that come to theater are available to rent like a month or two later because the typical, you know, however many months it's in theater while it's hot, plan has been shortened by a lot. I know like, you know, right now HBO has the deal where all of their films that go to, or not HBO, but Warner Brothers through HBO Max is putting all of their movies on HBO Max. And then, at least for the first 30 days, they'll be in theater and they'll be on HBO Max. And then after that, you can only see them in theater for a little while. They'll eventually come back. And next year, because it's supposed to open up a little bit more, they're going to have it where after the first 30 days in theater, then it'll come to HBO Max. But the point is that it's not a long span of time. It's really not. To where before, where it was like, you know, like 7 months later, you finally got to rent it or whatever the case may be. Not the case. And mind you, 7 months is not $25,000 worth. I can wait. you know what I'm saying? But really? I hope that came with like a copy of the film. I hope you got a free t-shirt. I hope you got to meet some of the actors. Like, that's a lot of money for one ticket. For one ticket.
For a ticket to go see a 2-hour Marvel movie. Like,
you can't even bring anyone with you.
I know. So I'm so confused. I feel like there should be like, I feel like that there's something else there. You know what I mean? Like this person is like, okay, I'm going to get a return of $50,000 because I'm going on this day with this ticket that I paid for, and I'm going to photograph, and it's going to go on my Instagram. And what I'm saying is really stupid right now. Let me put that out there. But you get where I'm going with this. Like, there has to be some sort of return on this investment, because people out here with this kind of money, if there is no return on this investment, and this is just somebody who wanted to go to the movies for $25,000, I know better ways to spend that money. Just give me a call and I will give you better ways to spend that money. Spa day for me and the dog. She needs a spa day too.
Fam,
I'm just saying.
Tom Holland could pick me up in a helicopter and I still would not pay that amount.
That's
bananas. And yeah, what you were saying before about people spending that amount of money on something this not important.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dog, you have a lot of money for no reason. Like,
yeah,
just no reason. Like, if you have that much money to spend on a movie ticket you can wait for, and it's not like, it's not even like an art exhibit that it's only going to be shown. Like, you know, you remember the, I don't know if you know, but the Wu-Tang album that they made that was only going to be one copy, and they sold it, you know, at an auction, and it was like, it's a piece of art. So nobody else gets a copy of it. There's no digital file or anything like that. It's just this particular thing. And at least something like that makes a little bit more sense, because it's supposed to be rare. It's supposed to be. But you can get tickets. As soon as this clears up, there's more tickets. Like, this isn't rare. It's rare right now because seats are filling up in the first week. But that's not. Just wait.
So what if this is actually, what's his name again? Jeff Bezos. He bought it for $25,000, and that's his way of donating to a poorer person.
He's fired. He's fired. Pay your employees. Forget that. Oh, a stupid movie ticket. Pay your employees.
Pay your employees and let them have bathroom breaks, please.
Right? Like, stop. Stop. Stop it, people. It's not even that. It's not that. And then if you... You have Disney Plus. I'm not doing it. I'm not, you know, not even Disney Plus, but like the other apps or whatever, like these movies eventually come to Vudu. Like I said, when I left seeing Ghostbusters, I bought the movie. As soon as it's available, probably next month sometime, it'll be there. Like, I saw Venom Carnage or There Will Be Carnage. Mm-hmm. And not even a month later, I was able to buy it.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand. But anyways, I hope the movie does well. I hope it doesn't suck that you if you pay that much for a bad movie, that's bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's terrible. I mean, a lot of people paid to see Mulan early on Disney Plus, and I'm like, well, I feel bad for you guys because that was trash.
Oh, that was actually, and you know what though? Because we talked about that, how I'm not going to Disney's double dipping in that sense, because you have to have both the subscription and pay for the film.
Yeah.
I think it was like, what, $30 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that premium service, whatever.
Right. And then they're like, well, you get to keep it. I'm like, but you don't though, because if you unsubscribe from Disney Plus, the movie's gone.
The movie's gone. And if y'all ever remove the content, for it's some just reason, gone. or if Disney Plus goes under, it's gone.
Yep. And then also, if you have Disney Plus and you waited like me, it would just be on Disney Plus to watch. I haven't watched it, but I'm just saying I could have. If I wanted to, but
if
I didn't.
You wanted to.
I'm not going
to
do that to myself.
And you shouldn't.
If I was thinking about possibly doing that, I could have and not pay anymore. And also, one more thing before we go: stop with this asinine argument about, you know, well, the tickets are expensive. You know, I would pay that because, you know, if you go to the movies and you take like your whole family, then, and you get popcorn and jujubes and all these other things, that it's going to cost about the same. You don't have to do that, though. Why do we have to do the extreme? Like, why do we have to pick the extreme when we make these comparisons? Can't you just be like, fam, I went to see Resident Evil recently, mm-hmm. and that was actually pretty good, by the way. I went to see Resident Evil with my brother. I paid, you know, no shade to him. I just wanted to go with someone, so I paid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was mad cheap in comparison to Disney Plus. Like just above $20, if that. I'm not paying $30+ the subscription to see one film.
No.
Stop it.
Right.
And he got popcorn. Like, what? Anyways, so yeah, I just think it's really interesting that people are paying ridiculous amounts of money for things that they can just wait on. And the people who are upset at scalpers for doing this type of thing, you really can't be upset with them.
Yeah,
because
why?
If nobody is paying, they would be forced to keep the item. So then it's just like someone else buying it or sell it at a loss. I mean, you know, sell it for cheaper. Just like the people who are buying up the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and whatnot. And selling it on eBay, it's like they wouldn't be doing it if people weren't buying it. If you weren't so desperate to get it now,
right?
Versus waiting. And I get it. If you're trying to buy one now for Christmas, I totally understand that because it's been out a whole year and people still haven't been able to get it. I understand that aspect. But when it first was announced, or you know, like the first was available to buy, and you didn't get it, just wait. Because if people are waiting, there's nothing for the scalpers to sell, so they have to sell at a loss. They're going to stop buying them.
Yeah.
That's just how that works. It's supply and demand.
If you
pay a ridiculous amount of money, guess what? The scalper's going to take a piece of that and go buy another PlayStation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, to go sell it. So, yeah. It's okay, folks. It's all right. It's okay to wait. It will be there. It will be there. Speaking of which, and this just popped in my head because I talked about Resident Evil. Me and my brother went to see Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City. And real quick, short review, I thought it was good. It rivals the first film, you know, the original Resident Evil film. And I think it's better because it focuses more so on the characters from the video game series. And so you don't have random characters that mean absolutely nothing to you popping up everywhere. And becoming the star of the film franchise. You don't have that. You actually have Jill, Chris, and you know, Leon, and all the other characters that were in this franchise. And I think that's really good. I also think that they did a great job in terms of developing a kind of a scary environment, and which could have been really hokey. A lot of what is Resident Evil is really cringe. We like it that way, though. It's B all the way, like B film, but game. But this did a decent job of being serious. It also allowed for, they changed a lot of the story to kind of fit a narrative that better works with a film. And I thought they did a really good job in that aspect because, like, again, a video game does not translate to movie very well. Just on paper, it doesn't, because we do a lot of foolish things. And the fact that they were able to not only incorporate like the game's puzzles with the mansion, where like you know, playing on like piano keys and it shifts a door somewhere, like a bookshelf picks itself up and move over. Like the fact that they did that and it seemed to work realistically, I thought that was a really good job. That being said, and though I like the film, I'm gonna end up purchasing it. It is very. There are some bad lines. Leon, they totally disrespected Leon's character. They made him incompetent, the butt of all the jokes, and just mean-spirited, like, jokes, too. It wasn't even, Like, at first you feel sorry for him, like, oh, everyone's messing with the rookie. But then after a while, you're like, nah, I don't even like you either. Like, like, he's just, right. He's just in the, you know what I'm saying? Just in the way. And they changed, you know, some certain characters' motivations. They combined Resident Evil 1 and 2 into one film and had a little bit of sprinkling of Code Veronica in there, if you're you know, looking. Another thing that they did that I thought was a little poor was that they kept nudging towards scenes from the games and in a way of kind of like, you know, fan service. And a lot of it works, but some of it doesn't. And it's because it feels a little out of place. Like, you just have to have this scene because you want to please fans, but it's not needed. It doesn't really add to the story. And if you work around a game, you know, trying to please fans in that aspect and not tell a good story first, you're going to fail. Thankfully, the movie doesn't fail. Some bad lines, one-liners and whatnot, that could be just thrown away. But for the most part, solid zombie film. And I'm looking forward to whatever they do next. And that's a surprise, because I didn't expect this to be good, you know, at all.
At all. I don't think anybody did.
You know what I'm saying? So, and granted, I think the first one was good because of the unique ways of incorporating video game elements into a movie in a realistic way. I think the first film, way back when, did a solid job of that as well. This one is better because you actually have characters that you care about. And then also the CGI is hit or miss. The zombies look great. Not so much the giant mutant monsters. They okay. Don't look great. They don't look great at all. Like, they need a bigger budget if you're going to add those things. But yeah, shout out to Resident Evil. Next thing we wanted to talk about was the difference between playing video games now and playing video games like however many years ago. And this is from the aspect of, well, actually many aspects, right? It could be because maybe you didn't have access to a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my man. I don't know if he's been listening to the podcast, but Elon, I remember him telling me on a podcast we were doing together a while back, how one of his early games was Shaq Fu. And how he picked it because it looked cool, and that was the only game he could play for however long, and it's notoriously bad. Yes. So I fell for him. I feel for him. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like one of those things where, like, maybe you were poor, you didn't have access to many games, or maybe you rented a game and you're like, you know what, I got $5 for my allowance, and I bought, you know, I was able to rent this game. I'm gonna play it. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you got a game on your birthday and you don't get games that often, whatever the case may be. Or it could be like this stigma where you got a game, you need to finish it. If it was one of those, like, you can't really finish Pac-Man, you know, like an arcade game, but like, you know, like let me think of an older one, like maybe a Tomb Raider or something like that. Like, it's like, I got to get to the end. I got to see the credits. Then I feel accomplished, or whatever the case may be. Mega Man, whatever. Right. And so, fast forward to now, where I have access to a lot of games, whether it be the Game Pass or, you know, I just can afford them now more readily. I don't have that desire. Part of it is definitely time. You know, I have a family now, I have kids now, and you can't just spend all day on, you know, these things. You have responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera. There's also the fact that I more readily recognize bad game design where it doesn't take into account anyone's time. It doesn't appreciate your time. It just goes on forever and it doesn't need to. And then also, I just don't care to play games I don't like if I'm not writing about them. And so what spawned this was me playing Evil Genius 2 on the Game Pass, because it recently released there. And I was enjoying it, like, a lot. It's like The Sims, but you're an evil genius trying to take over the world. You have to manage your minions and, you know, fight off agents that sneak into your lair using traps and, you know, other things. You have to research new items and stuff like that, new minion types, and basically build out a secret lair with a front. And in my case, it was a casino. I built out my casino to kind of build money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the whole thing, right? But then, you know, it got to like the 14-hour mark, and because I was playing it to kind of like just chill, but it got to the 14-hour mark and I just stopped because the grind to get through the rest of the game Uh-huh. It's one of those things where it's like, hurry up and wait. In order to complete mm-hmm. some of the objectives, you had to get certain resources that required a ton of work.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you tell an agent to go do something or a minion to do something, and they literally take like 30 minutes to do that of real time. Like, and
sounds like Farmville.
Yeah, I played most of the game on fast forward. Like, you can press, like, just like The Sims, you can play on fast forward and it mm-hmm. speeds everything up. I played 90% of the game on that. And it was still taking forever to research certain things. You can mitigate it a little bit by having more scientists or more of, you know, certain minion types, more specialized equipment, stuff like that. But after a while, depending on how you built your base, you're kind of locked down on your choices. Like, if you didn't build to have a certain amount of minions of this particular type, now you have to try to expand your base. But that might require more research into, you know, better tools to expand your base, which also takes more time. So, like, it builds and builds and builds like that to the point where, and I think what's sad is I think I'm close to being done, but I was just like, I'm not doing this. I read that it was like close to 20 hours or something like that of play. And I was like, I'm good. And younger me would have been like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're right there.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's understandable. I mean, I get it, especially now as an adult, and not having the time, kind of like you just said, like, you have other things to do, work, you know, kids, all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And when you're a kid, when you're younger, again, life was simpler back then. And getting a game was extremely exciting. And honestly, as a kid, a lot of things, like, got you excited, you know, as a kid. Yeah. Like, it was so easy to geek out or nerd out over something as a kid. And a, you know, a shiny new video game, especially if your parents spent money on it, was like, you better play this game and don't let them hear that you didn't like it, especially if you didn't have like a lot of money growing up.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. You're going to play this game and you're going to play it forever because it's the only game you're ever going to have. Ever. Okay. And so I understand a lot of what it meant to kind of like play games as a kid on your system. Like, and if you rented it from Blockbuster, right. You know, you needed to do that. Like, you needed to rent, you needed to finish it in time. And then the social aspect of games was, you know, going to elementary school, middle school and stuff, and talking about these games. Because if you didn't have the new Legend of Zelda, like, okay, you weren't really that cool. Or if you hadn't beat Duck Hunt on the hardest level, you weren't cool. You know?
Yeah.
There was a social aspect of finishing games, and especially if you loaned games to like your neighbors, if there are other kids in your neighborhood, and you swapped out games, there was a reason to want to finish them. I mean, honestly, like, I remember I swapped Zelda once because I never owned it, and I didn't own any video games. They were all my brother's. But I think I swapped a game once for Zelda, and I didn't know how to play it. Actually did not know how to play. So the only time I ever played Zelda was when I wasn't playing. I was watching other kids play it. And to be honest, like, even though, you know, Zelda's so famous, like, I don't know a lot about it so much because I didn't actually really play, because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I only knew how to play Mario and some other stupid games, like Finding Nemo. Not Finding Nemo, sorry, Little Nemo. Love that game. Anyway, but there's like a difference, you know, especially the way our brains work as kids. It was different. Yeah. But as an adult, like, you get to choose what you spend your time on. You get to choose, like, if you're actively choosing pain and suffering in a game that you don't like, then that's on you. That is literally your right. own mistake. And I honestly do have a story on that, because, like, you know how much I love Tomb Raider. I told you.
Yeah.
I got into Tomb Raider in college. I really enjoyed it because it was a game that made you think. And it wasn't straightforward. It was just like you really, really had to figure stuff out. And so I really, really enjoyed that kind of game. And so when I got my Xbox, I did end up getting Tomb Raider, the new release of Tomb Raider. Right. And I couldn't get past part of the beginning because they turned it into first person shooter. Just that one sec, that one segment of the game. Like, no, Lara always just naturally points her guns at the target. I don't have to point them for her. I mean, it's different when you, unless you have like the laser sight on or something, right, where you are intentionally trying to target something and that's part of the level. This was different. It was like there are other people in the game. You know, majority of the Tomb Raider game is just Lara. And I'm like, what? There's other people? I have to kill people? What the? And I got so fed up and I was just like, I'm done. I'm not playing this game anymore. And I tell my friend, Carrion, who's going to be on our show next week. And she's like, if you could just get past that, it is a really, really good game. Which it was. And I did finally get past that. But I had to put a lot of heart into wanting to complete this.
Right.
You know what I mean? We have choices as adults. I'm not saying we didn't have choices as a kid, but let my mother buy us a game and find out we didn't play it. That's not the way things work.
Or even worse, like you they buy you the game and then you beat it within like 2 days and like you're like, I want another one. Like yeah. The conniption that happens. Yeah. Like that's a whole different type of meltdown you don't want. Like
don't.
Nah, we still playing. We got some secrets to find. It's okay.
Right. Like, you know, like okay. Your parents come down, they're like, wait, why is there no noise? Like, what are you guys doing? Why isn't the TV on? Why aren't you playing the games? And you're sitting there reading books. Like, wait.
It's like, how dare you? Here? You know how much I've spent on this game? Nah.
But yeah, man, look, I put myself through hours of, what's that game that I like to play? I can't get the name out right now. My head isn't working.
Was it the MMO game?
No, Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I'm playing this game. You know how I feel about Dynasty Warriors. Right. And I'm like, this game is so stupid, but it's still fun. And the thing about Dynasty Warriors is that it has multiple modes of gameplay. You know, and this is before they did the open world. I don't know anything about the open world games.
It's not good.
Yeah, I heard it was trash and I don't want to play it because it shouldn't be an open world game. But like, you know, they had the hack and slash levels and then they ended up putting in like these versus things. Not like, it's not just like players can play each other, but you can play the computer and like you have to pick. And it's actually really complicated. Sorry, Warriors Orochi. That's right. Warriors Orochi. Yeah, they it's, you know, it mixes Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors together. And then it also brings in all the other Koei Tecmo characters.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Dead or Alive characters are in there too and all that kind of stuff. So like there are parts of the game where it's actually like quite silly. But it's still like fun. So like I can push myself through it. And there's so many hours of gameplay. It's I don't even know how many hours of gameplay it is. It's ridiculous. So yeah, whatever you put your mind to, right?
I mean, yeah, because there's plenty of games where like looking back, I probably shouldn't have. Like I should just been like, you know what? I'm done.
I quit.
But there was something it was decent enough, or the aspects that I liked about it were fun enough that I continued to play, and so you kind of overlook stuff. But then a lot of that too is like your mind is a little bit shaped on your limitations as well. I think things like the Game Pass kind of help in that regard because you can try stuff and not have to worry about investing so much.
That's true.
Of yourself into it because you haven't invested that much currency, you know, financially, you haven't invested that much into it too. So I definitely think there's a shift there that just kind of happens, but it is refreshing. It's refreshing to be able to walk away from a game and not have it like linger in the back of your mind. Like, man, you should have just gone ahead and completed it. But
I mean, cause they're expensive. Like now, like when we were kids, yes, games would be expensive to our parents or whatnot, but like, you know, $10 for a Nintendo game or something. I actually don't know how much Nintendo games cost because I never purchased
one.
Oh,
they were expensive. They were like Legend of Zelda on
Wasn't that $30?
No, $70. That was 70.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. Video games were mad. The video games have never not been expensive.
Never not been expensive. Okay. Because like I really didn't know, because I didn't pay for any of them because I was a kid when we had our Nintendo. And I didn't start paying for games until like my brother got his PlayStation. And then I was like, okay, well, I want to rent this game. And, you know, he didn't really want me a PlayStation 2, mind you. We never had a PlayStation 1. And so then I finally got my own PlayStation 2. But I never buy games when they're released. I would always get them like well later so that I didn't pay a lot for them. Pay, you know, $20 for a game. Like, I like to get a lot of my games at like $4.99 and stuff. Like, some used, like, I'm telling you, that's just how I roll because I'm like, I don't got money like that. Shoot, I bought my PlayStation and my Xbox like on Black Friday when they were cheap. So, you know, like, but anywho, what I was about to say was just like playing a game and then not, you know, buying it and not finishing it like I did with Assassins, which I told you. Right. And but sometimes like a game will start to stress me out so much that I don't feel that it's I don't want to say worth, but I just don't feel like it's right for me to continue because I'm becoming stressed out, which we actually talked about on one of our earlier shows, early when we were doing this about you know, things that kind of stress us out. And so when it gets to that point, if I really, really want to know how a game end or how cool it is, I'll watch somebody else play it on like YouTube. I will, because I don't feel like I can finish it. I just don't feel like I can do it. And I did that with the Turing test, which honestly I think is actually a really good game because I think it's a good mind bender. Right. But I just couldn't finish. I just couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't. I was really getting nervous. So I've done that. And I don't feel bad about it. And yes, I never finished Assassins, but I do feel like I can go back in time. I mean, I can go back and finish them. The only thing I think might be a problem with Assassins, the ones that I have, because I have three Assassins games, I think. And I think that I don't know how many people are going to be playing it online because there are certain levels that you have to play with other people.
Oh, not so much. I mean, there's modes that you have to play, like if you want to play multiplayer with people.
Yeah.
But as far as the basic story, you don't actually have to have anybody like access to that. Okay. But I do think it's one of those things where like some games you jump off of, like you were saying, because of the anxiety associated with it. That was the same way with me and Bloodborne. I bought that a cheap version, or you know, a cheap copy, because it had been out for a while. I got my PlayStation 4 later than I had gotten the Xbox first, and then the PlayStation 4. And so I was like, you know what? People talk about this game, and I'm not big on Souls games outside of Sekiro. So I was like, you know what? Let me try it. And the anxiety, I haven't finished it. I haven't gotten even far, actually, to be honest. And I started playing it again recently because I beat Ghost of Tsushima, and I was like, I'm going to play Horizon before the next one comes out. And I was like, you know what? I was looking at my, you know, the menu, the opening screen for the PlayStation, and I saw Bloodborne there. And I was like, you know what? Let me try it again. And what I found is that I don't understand, I guess, the allure of certain things. Like, I like exploring Bloodborne's world. I like the, it's kind of like this, I don't want to say steampunk, but it's like
my favorite genre.
Gothic, or I don't know. There's so many things you can say about its world, where there's monsters, there's werewolves, there's all sorts of stuff. And you're kind of playing like a hunter with like huge swords and whatnot. It's really anime. But at the same time, you can die at almost any turn. And typically when I play, like for instance, I like survival horror games. And you would think with the way my anxiety works that survival horror games would bother me, but they don't bother me the way this game does, because I feel like I lose something. If I die in Resident Evil, I just lost some time. Mm-hmm. I can reload my save, pick a different route, you know what I'm saying, and just go. Games like Bloodborne, because they're so, it's like a labyrinth, but it's open. So you can get lost very easily. So you can be like, oh, this is the right way to go. I'm sure of it. And walk right into a boss fight and not even know it. You're not even supposed to be there yet. Like the guide, and granted, you're allowed to be there, but if you were looking at a guide, the guide would say, no, don't go there. Go over here first. Get the much needed weapon you need before you go over here. And it's not the case. You just kind of go. And so not only that, you get like currency based on like when you kill enemies, you get a currency and you use that currency to purchase level up, you know, and items and stuff like that. But if you die, the currency is like, it's just kind of there and you have to go back to the spot where you died. And if you get there, you can pick it back up and you can keep it until you spend it. If you die again, though, you lose that currency. It's like gone forever. So that could be hours of potential play gone, right? And so mm-hmm. what happens is, though, because it's a labyrinth, there's sometimes where I'm like walking around. And I'm like, I don't know how to even get back to where I died. Like, I wasn't even supposed to be in this section of the map and I got here somehow and I don't know what to do. And so I think that anxiety, plus the fact that everybody is so lethal in terms of their fighting and mm-hmm. how things can just happen. You could be walking somewhere and like you look around and like someone rolls a boulder down the steps and kills you. And it's like, what the, you know what I'm saying? Like there's so much of that, that it's really difficult to play. It's not even the difficulty, because people highlight that a lot about these games. Like the bosses are really tough. It's not that bothers me. It's the anxiety that I'm going to die, not even knowing where I'm supposed to be, and potentially lose something that I can't get back.
Yeah.
That anxiety makes it difficult to play. But I'm trying it because I feel like potentially beating that game could allow me to have a better vocabulary game-wise, since it's one of those things where a lot of people talk about. But it's rough. It's rough. the next thing we wanted to talk about was Cowboy Bebop. We spoke about Cowboy Bebop last week. I had only seen, I think, the first three episodes. Mm-hmm. Tessa seen the entire thing. And so she gave you an interesting review and hilarious. We actually clipped part of it. You can check that out on the Gamecast One on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Also on Verbal. I also have the clip on there as well. But yeah, just, you know, she shared her thoughts. And so I wanted to give my thoughts after watching the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't hate the show. And there was times where I think this could potentially be because you gave it such a negative review that I was looking to be angry. And I eventually did get angry. I'm just going to put that out there. But I think I was looking to be angry and I wasn't. And because I wasn't, I was like, oh, it's not so bad. Mm-hmm. What I did was, similarly to what I do with the Marvel films, is that I separated the two. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the Marvel films are very much their own entity. Mm-hmm. The comic books that I read is a separate entity. Mm-hmm. And then so Cowboy Bebop, the anime, and Cowboy Bebop, or Netflix's Cowboy Bebop, are two different things. And so with it being two different things, I could better enjoy what they had. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you when you talked about Jet Black's character and how he had the most lines and he had some of the best lines. Mm-hmm. I think he was one of the best characters in the
show. Convincing.
Very much so. I think that actor did a great job.
Yeah.
Second to him. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was about to say his name. Go keep going.
Oh, and then Spike. Spike was the second character that I liked in terms of, I guess, hierarchy. And then Faye. And it really was like, you know what? There's some funny moments. There's some interesting things here. As long as you don't look for Cowboy Bebop, I think you'll be okay in that regard. Mm-hmm. It's whenever it gets real close to the anime, like it starts to copy certain, like almost word for word, certain scenes where I'm like, okay, this is not good anymore because it's inferior. It's very much inferior to the, not just the show, the anime, but like the themes that the anime covers. It does a very poor job of presenting those themes properly. And I wanted to not do that. Like, I wanted to stay away from that because you aren't equipped to do it. What you are building isn't necessarily what the anime was building. So stick with what you know, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. Because this half and half flippity flop stuff just does not work for your show. And it got more and more grating as we got closer to the end, especially Vicious. I'd said it last week. I didn't like Vicious. I super don't like him. Now he is just a big baby, and I didn't like his father. Like I was happy what happened with him. But as far as like it being by Vicious's hands, I'm like, I didn't care.
No.
And their conflict was so annoying compared to what it was in the anime. Like aspects of him as a character, I was like, you're not a likable villain. Like you're just, you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of a villain that is like the stooge of the main guy who wants to take over and get in his own way, like Starscream, but not charming. And what ended up happening is he creates a whole lot of mess that the other characters have to clean up, and you just hate the character. That's how Vicious was, he was becoming that, you know, in the show. And I was like, I would love to do away with him.
Trash.
Right. Faye, I think, was hit or miss for me. I didn't like all the, you know, I didn't like all the balls and all the, like, I don't know, like, it's just, she sounded
welcome to the ouch, motherfuckers.
Right. Like, I didn't.
That was so stupid. Welcome to the ouch, motherfuckers.
Yeah, it just was bad because it's not. I guess maybe they didn't lean into things fully. Like if she always spoke a certain way, it's like okay, this is just Faye's character. But she pivots. Like the episode with her mom, her, you know, I'm doing air quotes. Her mom shows up. Mm-hmm. She's not the same Faye. She acts very different here. I mean, she's the same character, but she doesn't talk the same. Mm-hmm. And you can see remnants of a better character there. And it worked. Most of that episode actually works outside of the, you know, the twist at the end, which I thought was bananas. Most of that episode actually works. And I was like, okay, Faye's not that bad. There was a lot of this is not that bad that would pop into my head, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is okay. I can see this like being a rough start. This could eventually be a better thing and so on and so forth. Getting close to the end, when they were doing the flashbacks and everything, it was very cringe to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the motivations, why people were fighting. I didn't like how it, I never liked this idea where people just don't talk to one another. Mm-hmm. I don't like how, like the audience knows and each individual characters knows something, but they won't talk to each other in a way that is realistic. Like,
right. Like, it's called plot armor.
Right. It's like, hey, if you just told him A, B, and C, he won't be as upset as he is right now, and you guys could squash this. But that's no, sloppy, because you have to be, yeah, because you just have to, what, and it's not even like, I can't, like, you know, they'll have, like, certain shows that are really good with this will be like, you know, if you tell someone, I'm going to kill your, I kidnapped your family, and I'm going to kill them, so you can't say anything. And so that prevents them from actually saying the things that they need to say. That's okay. But in this case, there was nothing preventing these people from talking. Like,
no.
Just have a conversation, and they would just kind of talk all around. Same thing with Spike and Jet not saying what they needed to say. I had no problem with Jet being upset with Spike because you had plenty of opportunity to say something, and you didn't. And the show wants you to feel bad about what happens here. And this is probably the only area where it actually mirrors the anime because we know that everyone just makes mistakes. Everyone lives how they live. And these are the results of it. And so seeing how they fall out at the end, it's like, yeah, this is what do you expect? Like, what did you expect was going to happen? Especially when you get his daughter caught up in your mess. What did you expect? So I can't even be, I mean, I'm not sad. Like, I'm like, I wish it would have ended better. Also, the whole twist with him being shot outside of the, I guess, cathedral, or whatever they were in, trash. Uh-huh. Like, just throw that away.
It was so stupid.
it was only to do another season. And we don't need another season.
Nope.
Now, mind you, I wouldn't have minded another season if it ended better. But the only thing that would have made me want to see another season is the reveal of Ed. And when they revealed Ed, I nearly threw my phone.
A lot of people actually almost threw up.
And no offense to the person.
Little girl.
Ed, no shade there. I think that for this particular world and for what they're going for, this Ed fits. And I'm pretty sure if we see her more, that she will do a, you know, she will do what she's supposed to do as that particular character. However, having the other Ed, like, referenced, knowing who the other Ed is, knowing how she, the other Ed looks and speaks, this is not Ed to me. And it comes off as an annoying extra character. And I'm not happy with that. I'm not. This is not the Ed I wanted.
No. It's like a little girl in a high school, like, you, somebody got their little sister to play the Raggedy Ann doll in the high school Christmas play.
You know what this is like? This is like, you remember Batman and Robin when Jim Carrey played the Riddler?
Yeah.
It's like that. If you know who the Riddler is, you know what the Riddler's done. Like, just the level of villain the Riddler is before the Joker even showed up on the scene. Mm-hmm. And then to have, and I like Jim Carrey.
We all do.
But to have that comical, not Riddler thing.
Yeah.
Is how I felt. I was like, no. I immediately said no when I saw Ed. So in this case, I think the Cowboy Bebop show, overall, I didn't hate it. I don't need any more of it. I am good if they never make another one. No offense to everybody who's involved, because, you know, you want to get paid. But if they don't, if they're like, this was it, we're done, we're good, I would have no problem. And yeah, it's just not hated. That's I guess that's the best I could say, which is kind of sad too. Is I don't hate it. It's just kind of like a thing I watched, and I'm done, I guess.
Yeah, which is sad. It which is actually the sad part, because first of all everybody involved should be slapped across the face for lying. It was all lies, because this is freaking Danielle Panetta. This is a love letter to the fans. Fuck off. No, it's not. Okay, like, no, it's not. Get out of here with that nonsense. All right, you all lied. The showrunner pretended like he actually knew what the show was about, which he clearly didn't. And if you wanted to go away from this source material, which we said last week, like, if you wanted to have a show that wasn't a one-to-one, then you should have created your own stories. Because the problem in this show, like we've said, is that story continued to happen whether or not the characters did anything. Right. It was story just kept, like, it was like, well, Julia needs to be the bad guy in the end, so we're going to have her be mad at Spike and say that he made her. And it's just like, so wait a minute. The man that you never left, and now you're going to run the syndicate, and you want to shoot Spike, even though 2 seconds ago you were in love with him. Like, 2 seconds ago you were kissing him. You were like, we can run away together. We can leave all of this or whatever. And then now it's, I'm going to run the syndicate. Bitch, what? I'm just want it to make sense. I just want some consistency here, because people are all like, you know, like, they think it's a twist. In their minds, they think it's a twist. It's like, it's not a twist. You always intended it to be this way.
Right.
And you just needed the characters to get there without actually developing these real characters. Because Julia didn't need to turn into this wannabe head honcho just because Vicious strangled her one day. Like, I'm having a hard time believing that she was this distressed damsel for so long, and then she just decided, we're going to make him pay. But you should have decided that years ago.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. And again, it's like I said, it's sloppy writing. And that's what makes me so mad, because it's like, at the end of the day, you know, it's fine to actually for people to be like, I don't hate it, it's whatever. But I feel like that's the sad part, because your source material was so good that everyone loved it. And they literally said the work, which will become a genre in and of itself, will be this. It's so ridiculous. Like, It's a tragedy and funny and all kinds of genres mixed together into one that actually works. This should never have worked. anime Cowboy Bebop shouldn't have worked, right?
Yeah.
Because there's just so much stuff in one show, but it worked. Why? Because they were so smart to create a show around characters. And this is what I was saying last week. The characters of the anime drove the show. No matter what, because they developed those characters so well, even the characters that only showed up in one episode had development. The characters drove the story. And in Netflix's version, they made a story and just put people where they wanted to put them. And we're like, this is how it's supposed to go because this is how we see it in our minds. I'm like, no, because that's not what it should be about. And one of the reasons I was so I've been irritated because I'm like, you guys actually could have made a good show if you had just built characters. That's it. Yeah. And I'm not like, I didn't need to see Pierre LeFou. I didn't need to see any of the stuff that was in all 26 episodes and the movie. None of it needed to happen. None of it needed to happen. If you had just built these characters, however you wanted to build them, but actually build them, because you never should have gotten the feeling, Kenny, that Faye was one way one episode and another way another episode. She should have always been Faye. And I hate that because I love Faye so much. She's one of my favorite characters just ever in any show. And I've said it the part where she watches the video, like that makes me cry. Every time I watch the anime, it makes me cry. That episode makes me cry because I resonate with it so much about, being a little kid and cheering yourself on. Like not many people do that. And she did. And she got to see that even when she had amnesia. Like Faye has so much depth to her. And the fact that this is a character who has no memory. It's how did you build somebody who has so much depth, but they have amnesia? That's excellent writing. Like that's excellent character development if you can do it. And I think what bothers me so much is they chose to keep Ed for the end because they want to have a season two, which I hope they don't have because it's just going to be trash. And they failed at so many things. You failed at world building. You really failed at world building. And this should have been simple. Like it can, so many other movies that are 2 hours. Okay. They didn't get 10 hours. These movies got 2 hours and they did world building way better than you could do in 10 episodes. Majority of Cowboy Bebop in the anime takes place in space, but of course they clearly didn't have any money for it. So they made everything happen on whatever planet or moon they happened to be on, which we never really know, to be fair. I feel like there are so many things that they did wrong, which is just so upsetting because it's like, if you weren't ready to tackle something like this, why did you try Netflix? Like you just pissed everybody off. And this isn't something where it's like, oh, well, we were always going to upset some of the fans. No, you just made bad television. It was just bad TV. And it's so upsetting because there's a whole list of things we can talk about. They screwed up Gren's character. I'm really upset. And I don't want, like, there are some articles out there that are like, oh, well, if you're not non-binary, if you're not trans, then you don't see what was wrong with Gren in the show, in the anime. And I'm like, but didn't you guys just make a basic shell of the new Gren? You didn't take into his traumatic past and the fact that he was actually traumatized and now has, somewhat of gender dysmorphia. Like you didn't talk about that. If you're going to bring this character into this way that you think that you're bringing him, then, but why? Like, why? Yeah,
Nothing was done. And granted, I can't speak on certain aspects because I don't identify in those areas, but yeah, it's like, Ed, when I first saw Gren, I didn't even know it was Gren.
I know. Nobody like, did. Nobody did.
It was very much like a, not an afterthought, but it was kind of like when they do in films where they take a franchise and they make a character die. Like they have to have a character death, but it's a known character. And it's like, wait, that was that. It's like, you know, and for the Transformer fans out there, when Cliffjumper got pulled apart or like was killed in the Bumblebee film, it was like, why Cliffjumper? Like, yeah, it could have just been a random bot. Like the two people who killed him are random. Why can't you? It's supposed to make us feel something, but we haven't established a relationship with this version of Cliffjumper yet. So it's just a name to be thrown out. For the sake of filling a roster, I guess. I don't know, like a check mark. And that's what, that's a lot of it is like that. Excuse me. Like it's, I think it would have been better if they would have made it maybe even after the show. Like this takes place after the anime. Okay, cool. Cause
Didn't I say that when we were a few weeks ago?
Yeah. This was like, at the very least, this was like, you know, this takes place after. So we have a whole new story to tell you, or maybe before the anime. Or it could be in the same time, but you tell a completely different story with these characters. Mm-hmm. And so the only comparison we have is the show itself, and we can kind of just look at that. And there could be other things that are iconic. Like, I don't know, Spike's clothing is iconic. The fact that they pulled open his closet and he had the exact same suit, which I thought was hilarious.
So hilarious. That's like my favorite moment.
Right. Like, or like, you know, having... you know, the corgi there, or having like the, you know, the stuff, the actual ship looking like it does in the anime. Like you can have nods to the anime that are just there as an extra wink.
Yeah.
But not something where you try to copy, because then we have to go back and say, oh, this is not as good as, we don't have to do that.
And then pass it off as it. Like I'm so irritated that the showrunner literally, and it's not just showrunner, the actors are out there, they're saying it too, because, you know, they're getting a lot of hate online and stuff. But like they're out there saying, oh, you know, we didn't want to do one-to-one. And we've said this last week, then why did you? Why at all? And like, a lot of it. Like, why the hell did you have Faye sit there when they had that conversation and at the table? And she's like, I'm not going to carry that weight. I wanted to punch the screen when she said that. I was like, are you kidding me? You're going to use the last line of the show when Spike is dead? He is dead on the ground, gut not freaking sliced open. And you're going to use the last words of the show to come out of Faye's potty mouth? I'm not going to carry that weight. Like, you don't care at all. To me, I'm just saying, I really feel like the show was just a flip the bird to anybody who had ever appreciated it. And it's like, if that was the case, why did you do Cowboy Bebop? You should have done Trigun. And this is not to knock Trigun. It's not to knock Trigun at all, because that was my jam and I own Trigun. But Trigun would have been an easier show. You can't sit here and tell me that the show that they produce wouldn't have been better suited to Trigun.
It would have been a lot more close, because Trigun's themes are very much, it's shallow until it's not.
Yeah.
And so you could kind of get away with a lot of stuff, a lot of comedy, a lot of randomness, and it'll all work for Trigun up until towards the end when certain characters are revealed. Basically, up until a certain point when it's like, oh, you actually have something to say. But before that, you're just having fun. You could have done that. You could have done that. And I'm not mad at them trying to make Cowboy Bebop. I'm not mad at certain aspects, because there's some genuine good stuff here. I think that they suffered the thing that happens with a lot of people who try to pull up or just do work on a franchise that's already established, mm-hmm. already has a fan base. When you think you know better, or you think you can improve it, but you don't, seemingly don't understand what made it appealing to begin with, and so you just kind of run with it. I talked about Ghostbusters last week, the you know, all female cast. A lot of people, unfortunately, were upset because it was all female cast, right? And for me, I kind of looked past that because I didn't really care, and not to say that I didn't want any women to play Ghostbusters, but it was the idea that you're copying and you're doing it in a way that is going to lead to comparison. Like, for instance, if you want to have an all-female cast, why did you have one black character and three white characters like the original Ghostbusters? Remember, you're changing things the way you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Why do you have one female character? Why isn't there, you know, you have a male character and, you know, a couple of female characters. Why don't you have... Why did you ape a lot of the original in terms of how it started? Like, how they went you know, to the library and found the library ghost. You have a version of that in your film. Like, mm-hmm. you are doing things that make you compare to a better product. And then you get upset when people are like, it's not as good. Well, maybe do your own thing then. Yeah. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand the logic behind that. So, like, for me, I wasn't being sexist in the idea that, like, women couldn't have these roles. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, that's dope. Let's do that. But then I saw the casting. I'm like, oh, it's just the same thing. It's you're not really trying anything. You're
no.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have the exact same composition, but just worse. And so, like, and then, like, you know, the jokes and everything just didn't land. And there was, because there's a lot of, I guess what people missed was, like, a lot of Ghostbusters was, first of all, it was well written, but then also it's a lot of ad-libbing. You have comedians.
Yeah.
Like, really good comedians. And so, like, a lot of the magic is just spontaneous. And they're like, you know what? We're going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have this particular one that's trying to copy the spontaneity of the original film. You can't do, no one can copy Bill Murray. I'm sorry. It's not happening. I know.
It's not happening.
Regardless of film.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So why would you even aim to do that?
I agree. And it bothers me so much. And I know, like, so one of the things that I really just want to kind of squash is this. People are like, you know, you just can't make good anime adaptations. And that's not true, because it's not. And something that's something that's kind of passionate inside of me, because the point is that we've had great adaptations of all kinds of work. Adaptations can be done. The problem is that it's the visionary behind it, because it's clear that some of these people, when they decide to go adapt something, they just think that they can make a people version of what they saw in that was animated. And that's not right, because it fails miserably. You see that happened in a lot of different things that have become live actions. We saw, I mean, I don't even need to mention all of them, but Death Note is one of them. And I'm not talking about the Netflix version. I'm actually talking about the Japanese version. That was not good. The Japanese version of Attack on Titan was not good. Like, and they just, like, were popping these movies out. It happens all the time. They just, like, people just pop these things out without really even thinking, because they just think they can make money off of it. And that's sad. So the best adaptation for me, one of the best adaptation I've ever seen of an anime, was Honey and Clover. And I'm not talking about there's a Chinese version, a serialized version, which I've actually seen a little bit of years ago when I was able to access it. I think, I don't remember where I saw it, if it was on Netflix or if it was on Crunchyroll or Daily Motion or something. But, like, the Japanese version, that is the movie, not the Japanese version that's the show. Right. But Honey and Clover is one of my favorite anime of all time. And the Japanese movie is so good. I love that movie. It is such a good adaptation that they managed to fit. I forget how many episodes Honey and Clover is. I think the first season is like 24 episodes, and then the second season is like 12 or something. But they managed to fit all of this content into like a 2-hour movie. And it was so good because, again, Honey and Clover is about characters. It is a character-driven slice of life genre. And all of these characters, not only do they have a role to play, but they are human. They're people. And they all fit into the same world because, you know, they all go to the same school or they teach at the school. And they put all of it together. And it worked so well. Even the most animated character of all of them, who is my favorite character, is Morita. And Morita is hilariously crazy. He's crazy. These are all art students in a college. And the guy who plays him in the live action version is the guy from Sukiyaki Western Django. The killer in Sukiyaki Western Django. Okay. Morita is the most animated character, arms flailing everywhere. I don't remember if it was the first episode, but he jumps, his name is Shinobu, his first name is Shinobu. He jumps out of the window and it's like the fourth floor, and like the people in the room, this is in the anime, they say, they're like, don't jump out of the window, it's the fourth floor, whatever floor he's on. I forgot. And then they see him running down the
like the sidewalk, and they realize he had a grappling hook. That's how he got out of the window down to the ground. And they say, they're like, they actually say, where was he keeping that? You know, trying to kind of reel it back into real life, even though this is animated. Right. Like, and that's the joke. That's the joke. It's hilarious. It's like, you're right. Where the hell was he keeping that grappling hook? But this is animated. Do you think that they put that in the live action? That wouldn't have made sense if they put it in the live action. So guess what? They didn't. He was still very awkward and weird in the live action movie, but he wasn't a mere a spitting image of the person that he was in the anime, and it worked. This is my favorite character. I'm typically pissed off when they mess up my favorite characters, i.e. Vicious, i.e. Faye, i.e. Ed. I'm heated at what they did to them. But I'm saying that it can be done so well because you had a crazy psycho character in Morita Shinobu. However, his live action counterpart gets it across perfectly without doing anything like that. He doesn't jump out of the window. He's just a really good sculpture student. And I think one of the parts where we were all expecting him to be really, really weird is the revelation of his room. His bedroom was always locked in the anime. Nobody could ever get into it. They had to like get some special CIA person to try to get into the room, and they couldn't, right? So in the live action, when it's like, okay, how are we going to get into this room? I think in the anime, I think his brother manages to get in, I cannot remember. But when they go into the room in the anime, he's got all this super crazy CIA style technology in his room. He's got huge monitors, generators, computers. It's insane in there, right?
Right.
But then in the live action version, when they get into his room, it's just empty. Like, I was waiting for some crazy stuff, and they open the door and the room is empty. Because that's how you make an adaptation. You cannot do the exact same thing that's in the anime without making it look like just foolish or parody or just something that you're not taking seriously. Because at the end of the day, his character still came across.
Yeah, a lot of it's similar to the video games. Like I was saying before, where you can't use every aspect of the video game because a lot of it only makes sense within the video game. It doesn't make sense when you try to, I don't know, extrapolate it for the real world. That being said, I have seen where it was done, and granted, this was like the manga, where they actually did it almost one for one, and they did an extremely good job. And I think it was because the story itself is more grounded, even though there's like time travel. Was Erasure. That show, so like Erasure is a manga, then it has an anime, and then it has, I think, two different versions. There's a Japanese version, and then there's a Korean version. My wife showed me, she's looking at me now. My wife showed me the Korean version, so I went and did some looking, and I end up checking out the manga, and I come to find out that the anime was, they did a good job with the anime and stuff, but the anime and the other show switched things. Like they kind of did their own thing with the ending and different characters and whatnot. And it wasn't necessarily bad, but it was just like, this isn't what you were expecting. Or at the very least, it gives you a different flavor of what happens throughout the show. But the Netflix show Erasure actually follows the manga one to one. Like there's even some scenes that are drawn that if you look at the show and like just pause it, there is the exact same scene. But because it's a more grounded story, there isn't people like with superpowers. I mean, there is one character goes back and forth in time, like in his mind goes back and forth in time. But outside of that, no one has like fireballs and you know what I'm saying? So what it does is it allows you to tell a really cool mystery with characters that can act really well, or like actors who can act really well. And so they can play these characters in a way that allows the story to breathe in this form as well as the manga. And it works really, really well. Erasure is a really good show. And so there is a way, but I think you have to be careful with your liberties, and you have to, if you're going to make changes, what are your changes for?
Yeah.
Are you making changes so it could be more realistic within the world that you create? And if that's the case, I think from a viewer standpoint, you have to at least get the tone right. Like you were saying with that character, he's still that particular character.
Mm-hmm. Just a real life version.
Oh, so you said, oh, sorry, my wife just texted me. You said it's not a Korean version. Was it Korean on the Netflix? It was Japanese? Okay, so there is another show like out there that I thought was the Japanese one, but apparently the show on Netflix is the Japanese one. But
told Joanne to get on so we can have her input.
Facts. 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 But so basically, so I'll say that and then I'll finish what I was saying. Basically, there was a show before the Netflix one. Oh no, it was a movie. Sorry. There was a movie before the Netflix one that changes everything. And people kind of was like ho-hum about it. And then the Netflix show stuck to the manga and it worked out extremely well. That's basically what I wanted to say. I got the names mixed up. My fault.
Okay. Got it.
But yeah, so like if you're going to make a change, keep the tone the same. You know, looking at Resident Evil, the story has changed. How the events are not even in the same order, stuff like that. But the overall tone is what you get from the actual game. Mm-hmm. And so it works. I wasn't upset that certain people weren't where they're supposed to be. And you know, the motives were slightly different. This person isn't necessarily the evil bad guy that they, you know, you made him out to be. I'm like, oh, this actually works really well for this world. And the tone is the same. So this is, you know, like a different version, but just as good version of Claire, or, you know, a main character. And if you're not going to do that, where you keep the same tone, then change everything. So at the very least, I can say, you know what? This is their project. This is their thing. This has nothing to do with the game. It just was inspired by, and I can appreciate it for what it is. I'm not looking for any references. I'm not looking for any key moments, key characters, you know, set pieces, none of that. It's all different. Like, I think you can do an adaptation those ways, but doing this half and half where it's kind of one-to-one, but it's not really, but we're going to change this, outside of very small, like, problematic things that probably won't work with today's audience. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know, racist people or a racist depiction of black people in Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, we can change that. Mr. Popo doesn't have to have a black face. Not a black face like a black person, but the black face paint. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have to look that way in the anime, in the whatever adaptation. Yeah. But outside of that, Goku needs to be Goku, or he needs to be somebody completely different.
Right. Like, whole new. It's not that hard. I think what makes me so mad is, like, it's just not hard to reimagine something and do it justice. I mean, we could talk for hours, but, like, I write stuff. A lot of times I don't write it on paper, but I create stuff all the time. And I am not, I know I said this last week because I could do it better. But, but I'm just saying that, I guess, in the way that my head, my mind works, even in its damage, is I just feel like there are so many better ways to use characterizations. There's like for example, there's a story that I really like, an anime that I really like, that I came up with this whole, not side story, but like an actual story, because the author hadn't written it. Like, the author had only written four novels, four books for her world that she created, and then never went back to one area of her world. So I started working on something that I thought would be great. And then, like, a year ago, she like comes out and says, I'm going to write the rest of the books. And I'm like, damn it. I just thought that was funny. Anyway.
I mean, it's difficult. Like, I'm not going to say it's easy.
No, it's not.
Because honestly, the fans will get upset at anything. You're not gonna please everybody, and writing, especially for, because like we said last week, I don't know if the writers wanted to have a short show, but Netflix was like, we paid however much money, we need to have a, you know, 10 episodes, or we need to have this, because that's happened before. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, you know, a studio will be like, we need to follow certain things. Just The Walking Dead, one of my favorite comics. When it was being translated into the show, it went through so many showrunners because they all had a different vision of what it what it was going to be. And AMC was like, no. And that's why from season 1 to 2 is such a huge change. Not even like this, how the zombies act, but their designs and everything, because the previous showrunner, it fell apart. And then season three even was different. It was like tonally different when they brought on other people, and it was difficult. Like, I don't, the fans were, you know, obviously up and down, but the clashing of talent with the people who were, you know, footing the bill, if you will, that always happens. And it got to the point where I want to say just recently, I want to say the guy won his lawsuit and had, because he got like supposedly was suing for millions of dollars because they had to let him go. And he was like, my way was actually, you know, I had written a lot and, you know, I should be paid essentially. And, you know, it was this big thing. So I don't even know how heavy handed, because, you know, you're not going to hear this stuff from the actors or anything right now while there's still potential room for another show.
They this do it after later. The show's over, like they did with Game of Thrones.
Right. Like, you know, they were, and they almost couldn't hide it. Like, when people kept asking them, like, how the last season was, and so they kind of smiled and kind of, like, kept it moving. It's like, yeah.
Oh, I felt so bad for Nikolai.
They knew it was trash. They knew it. But anywho, that is our show for tonight.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Appreciate you listening and hanging out with us. Feel free, if you're listening on our YouTube page at United Frame Gaming, to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. Also, if you're on Twitter, feel free to follow us at TheGameCast1. You have to put the one there. So you're up on, you know, when we post. We typically do it the weekend after we record, which is on a Thursday. And, you know, have all our retweets and whatnot going crazy for those few days. So definitely follow us there, and, you know, feel free to subscribe to our RSS feed regardless of where you listen, whether it's on Deezer, if it's on Apple, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We're all over the place right now. We're also on Verbal. It will come up on Verbal a few days after everyone else. They're a little bit newer when it comes to podcasts. So, you know, just got to give them a little bit of time, but they pull the RSS feed as well. So you can also subscribe over there. And I need to check, cause I know our listens are going up, which is great, but I have like three different metrics. Like, I have, you know, Audio Boom has our stuff and they record just about everywhere, but then YouTube is a whole nother entity and they record views, which, you know, it's not as big as over at Audio Boom because most people listen to podcasts not visually. And then on Verbal, I actually don't know where to find that information. I think you have to have an outside source to get that. So if you are listening on Verbal, awesome. I can't see it right now. but, you know, definitely subscribe anyways. And let us know what you want us to talk about. There's a lot of stuff. This week we did talk about video games. So, you know, high five to that. Boom. And, you know, next week we're gonna jump back into Arcane, which is video game related, being that it's with Riot Games, and we're gonna be talking about that. I'm gonna be watching more. I did get to see one episode, and it was amazing visually, and so I'm looking forward to that. There's also movies and whatnot. I'm not seeing Spider-Man on launch, so just let you know, we will talk about that way after the fact, because no, I'm not dealing with you folks. But beyond that, there's a ton of stuff to talk about. And the Video Game Awards are coming up next week. So we're probably going to be talking about that as well. So definitely stick with us, and yeah, we won't let you down.
All right, everybody. That's it. I don't have anything else except the same thing, you know, wash your faces and your hands and your butts and be kind and get vaccinated and stay away from Omicron and wear your mask and stay away from other people. Like, just hunker down. We'll get through this, guys. That's about it, guys. It was great having you. We hope to see you guys next week. That's it. Bye-bye now.